You're listening to the Moving Forward Together podcast, brought to you by Optum. We'll discuss current mental health and wellness trends during the COVID-19 pandemic with subject matter experts at the forefront of mental health research, business, and practice. As COVID-19 continues to impact daily life around the globe, we want to shed light on the importance of mental health, especially during these uncertain times, and to help individuals cope. I'm your host, Dr. Dylan Ross. I'm an organizational psychologist and licensed mental health professional. I currently serve as the Senior Director of Clinical Strategy at Optum Behavioral Health. Our topic today is cultivating emotional resiliency at the time of COVID-19. Here we'll cover three inner strengths that make us resilient: grit, compassion, and gratitude, and how you can develop and use them. My guest today is Dr. Rick Hansen, a psychologist, senior fellow of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center, and New York Times bestselling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and at meditation centers around the world. His six books are available in over 29 languages and include Resilient, Hardwiring Happiness, and Buddha's Brain. Rick focuses on what's called positive neuroplasticity and how we can gradually change our brains for the better, and thus our lives as well. And his work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, and NPR. He is uniquely positioned to talk about emotional resiliency during the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're thrilled to have him joining us today. Rick, welcome.
Dylan, it's a pleasure to be here, an honor, and I'm so happy, actually, that we're going to have a chance to share this information with the people listening.
So, Rick, let's dive into our topic today, cultivating emotional resiliency. You've written extensively about emotional resiliency. What does resiliency mean to you, and what makes us resilient?
Yeah, fundamentally, resilience has two qualities to it. First, it helps us cope with challenges and changing conditions. Both the worst day of our life, and really every day of our life, has challenges in it. Stresses, obstructions, difficulties, you know, stuff happens, okay? Resilience also, though, very important, is about protecting and nourishing an underlying well-being. In other words, just because we can cope or just because we can survive the worst day of our life doesn't necessarily itself mean we're resilient. If we're truly resilient, we can maintain deep down inside ourselves a fundamental ground or core of well-being. Now, that ground of well-being can certainly include experiences sort of flowing along the surface of anger or sadness or loss or immobilization or physical pain. But underneath it all, can a person say, yeah, even when it's crummy, even when I'm frazzled and rattled and dealing with stuff, deep down inside, is there a fundamental sense of contentment and warm-heartedness and even inner peace? That's what resilience, that's the real fruit of true resilience. So how do we get resilience, right? Resilience is made from a variety of inner strengths, capabilities, such as understanding other people, understanding yourself, ways of being skillful, depending on different situations, a fundamental kind of gritty determination to just live through it and endure no matter what. Resilience also includes positive emotions. It's really interesting the ways in which happiness, broadly defined, gratitude, sense of contentment, sense of meaning and purpose in one's own life, awe, etc., these all make us stronger. Actually, happiness makes us stronger. So a lot of my work is about using the power of what's called positive neuroplasticity to gradually change your brain for the better, so that more and more you're hardwiring these qualities of grit, gratitude, compassion, and so on inside yourself. So more and more, they're not dependent upon external conditions. They're unconditional. You've grown these traits that make you resilient, which then you can draw upon every day.
So to that end, let's focus on these three inner strengths that you've called out: grit, compassion, and gratitude. So let's define it. What is grit?
Grit is that irreducible sense of determination, moxie, a certain scruffiness. I think about the Lord of the Rings trilogy, such a beautiful, profound myth for the ages, really. And I think of that moment, if you know the book or the movies where Sam and Frodo are crawling up the slopes of Mount Doom as the volcano is exploding and all the monsters are gathering, and still they keep going. You know, grit is that quality in us that keeps on going even when it's very, very hard. And what's remarkable is that research shows that we can develop it. In other words, we need to draw upon it. We need to use it. But where do we get it? We can grow it along the way. And so if you like, I'll mention two qualities of grit that people can focus on, and they can actually strengthen them inside themselves for dealing with these times and also for life in general.
Please.
Okay. Well, the first is the feeling of just determination, being resolute, being committed. So we start with an experience, which then we help to sink in. We help the neurons to wire together so that gradually, let's say, we develop a sense of determination as a trait. So here, a person can bring to mind the feeling of being determined on behalf of others. And then once you're having that experience, stay with it for a breath or two or longer. Stay with the experience, feel it in your body. Focus also on what is rewarding about it, what feels good about it. These three things: the duration of the experience, the embodiment of it, and the reward value of it, the sense of it being enjoyable and or meaningful. Those are three neuropsychological factors that increase the conversion of passing experiences into lasting physical changes in your brain. Do you want to hear the other one?
Let's hear it.
Okay. This one's really cool. One of the key resources for dealing with threats is feeling strong yourself. That feeling strong doesn't usually look like some kind of movie action hero being really aggressive, you know, hitting people. Most of the sense of feeling strong is that you can endure. So here too, a person could focus on what are the times in your life when you have actually felt strong. Maybe you were, you know, holding a yoga pose or Pilates exercise, or you were lifting a weight, or like you were outdoors, you were jogging, or you kept going, or you just felt strong, you know, in just a sort of fundamental vitality in your body or a willfulness in your own mind, you know, that, you know, feeling strong-willed, let's say. What's it feel like to feel strong? You know, this experience overlaps the sense of determination, but it has its own qualities. So then, when you're feeling strong, slow down. Help it sink in so that you can take into yourself what it feels like again and again to just keep on going. And in that way, here too, you can grow grit by feeling both more determined and stronger as you face the challenges in your own real life.
I want to hear more about where compassion or self-compassion as well as gratitude comes in for this.
Yeah.
Some may not make that direct connection. How do you see these connecting to this concept of resiliency?
So compassion has these two qualities: empathy for suffering, suffering very broadly defined from subtle to utterly anguished, physical and emotional suffering. And then in addition to that quality of empathy, compassion wants to help. It's not merely observant or indifferent. It wants to help. There's a supportiveness. Traditionally, it's said that compassion is the wish that beings not suffer, a kind of willfulness. It's good will, not ill will for others. This is the essence of compassion, and it's really down to earth. We can also have compassion for ourselves, which for many people is the final frontier. It's not so easy to bring to oneself the same recognition of the burdens we carry with decency and respect as qualities in that recognition. It can be harder to apply that to ourselves. It can also be harder to bring a certain sense of nurturance and supportiveness and encouragement and sympathy, healthy sympathy, to ourselves that we do to others. So it's important to work that muscle. Now, research shows that self-compassion also is a major factor of resilience. One thing I would just suggest to people, if they want to develop more compassion for others, as well as for yourself, with regard to other people, the little saying, like me. We can have a sense that, like me, you don't want to die. Like me, you worry about your kids. Like me, you like chocolate. Like me, you get headaches. Like me, you enjoy many things in this life. And with that feeling of common humanity, like me, we naturally become more open to the challenges, right? The weariness, the stresses, the worries, the suffering in other people, like me. And then you can apply that same feeling of, like others, I too suffer. Like others, I'm stressed. Like others, I worry. Like others, I don't want to get sick. Like others, I am sick. And now I've got to deal with this. You know, like others, I'm facing the losses of those I love. That is a really powerful and effective way to increase compassion for others, to build that as a trait, and to increase compassion for yourself, which will then further reinforce the broader trait of resilience.
Those two phrases, when said, I experience a softening.
Yeah.
And I think it really gets to that kind of connectedness. And I think about this time, which is truly unique, where we've been tasked and asked and at times directed to physically distance ourselves from those in our community, in our family, our loved ones, because of the public health risks.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it is to have some sort of practice or those tactical things that we can do to increase our felt sense of connectedness.
Yeah.
And how important that is then in turn for this developing this concept of self-compassion. So let's cue up the last kind of inner strength here, gratitude. It's one of those words that I think gets thrown around often. Can you operationally define gratitude? What is it to you?
Yeah. Gratitude is the simple feeling of thanks. And it can be really quite simple and mild, right? Somebody does a little thing for you and you're a little startled and you go, oh, thank you. And even more generally, a person could have a sense of thankfulness for just the amazingness of life, even on a really, really, really bad day. That's the nature of gratitude. And I think there's an important point here that gratitude is not positive thinking. It is not about overlooking anything or looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. We can feel compassion for what is painful for others and for ourselves. We can have a clear-eyed discernment and recognition of injustice and what's gone wrong, and we can have a sense of appropriate moral outrage, while also, alongside that, we can have thankfulness for what is still working. Gratitude gives us heart, it gives us hope, and it helps to support the positive emotions that are also major factors of resilience. And a lot of research shows, again, that people can develop that attitude of gratitude. If you want, I'll just give you two suggestions from the research literature that are really practical.
Please.
Basically, every day, often typically just before you go to sleep, take a moment and reflect on three things that you're thankful for. And try to help the idea or the recognition of these things become a feeling. It takes less than a minute, really, although you can take more time with it, and it can have a big impact. The other thing is to have at least a moment every day where you deliberately slow down for a breath or half a minute or longer and just focus on the feeling of thankfulness. It could be at a meal. Maybe you just say to yourself, for sure, I'm going to take a few moments just, you know, when I see the tomato on my plate to reflect in thankfulness about where that food came from and the larger processes, the gift of life altogether that the food represents. Maybe that. Or maybe you have a regular routine with your child when you put her to sleep at night, say, or when you connect after your child comes home from school, and you just say, you know, I'm going to make it a habit in these regular moments to feel some thankfulness here. In these ways, people really, they feel better and they become stronger and they develop more gratitude as a trait that they then, you know, carry with them wherever they go.
Rick, while you've been a mindfulness teacher for years, one of the things that I think is unique about your work and your focus is the neuroscience behind what you're recommending right here.
Mm.
And there's a common denominator, I think, amongst a lot of what we're talking about today, where through your work, you've helped teach us that the duration of the experience, that you're focusing on, paying attention to, being mindful of, and the embodiment of that experience, as well as that kind of third component of being that felt reward of the given experience, being really key to converting states to traits. Rick, I want to thank you for today's discussion and for your contributions of your work and for taking the time to sit down today and meet with us and share your thoughts and perspectives during this very unique time in history. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dylan. It's been an honor, and I hope this is helpful for the people listening.
And for those who perhaps today's discussion has resonated, please check out Rick's new book, Neurodharma. Rick, in your new book, you share a framework of simple things that we can do each day, no matter how chaotic the world might be around us, and there's a lot of that today, to better handle stress, feel grounded and at ease, and ways that we can cultivate an overall sense of well-being. And while I think it's important to note that while the title references Dharma, which has kind of a religious bent, it's by far not a religious book by any means, but one that is really grounded in the neuroscience and psychology of your arc of work. And I look forward to continuing to read it. So Rick, again, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Dylan. Really, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Moving Forward Together podcast brought to you by Optum. For more on managing mental health and wellness during the COVID-19 pandemic, please visit optumeap.com, where we'll post follow-up articles and additional resources. Stay tuned for more as we continue on with this program throughout the summer.